Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram, Section A, for Friday, November 5th, 2021. Event speakers, hopeful on energy shift, by Mella McEwen. Recent years have been transformational for the energy industry, buffeted by demands for an energy transition to a low-carbon or zero-carbon environment, constrained access to capital, and a global pandemic. But few companies have been as transformed as ConocoPhillips, which this year has seen its Permian Basin acreage leap from 167,000 net acres to 717,000 acres with the acquisition of Midland's Concho Resources. And by the end of the year, the company will add another 225,000 acres when it completes the purchase of Royal Dutch Shell's Permian Basin assets. Just as the Permian Basin has led ConocoPhillips' transformation, it will lead the nation's energy production, said Aaron Hunter, Vice President, Midland Basin. The Permian Basin will lead U.S. production growth, he told those attending Hart Energy's Executive Oil Conference on Thursday at the Horseshoe. The Permian, he said, will be active 40 to 50 years from now, and that's why ConocoPhillips is here. Despite the calls for an energy transition away from fossil fuels, Hunter said the world will clearly need oil and gas for decades to come. Natural gas utilization will see strong growth through 2050, led by power demand as the fuel serves as the primary bridge source for electrification. The energy transition will take time and will need oil and gas to evolve toward a low-carbon future. This is a critical time for the industry. The Permian Basin offers some of the nation's lowest cost energy supplies, and operators can leverage technology to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Global oil and gas demand is expected to surge at least 34% by 2050, said Clay Caspar of Devon Energy, opening the conference, which was meeting in person for the first time since 2019, Gaspar said that when the energy transition is discussed, too often the focus is on the U.S., while the 2 billion people around the globe living in energy poverty and their aspirations for better lives are overlooked. Everything we love in the modern world, social media, the pictures we like to take and store, what feeds the cloud is energy. The two-day delivery from Amazon that we have is fed by energy. As people move out of energy poverty to better lives, he said energy demand will experience sustainable growth well into the future. Not only will demand for oil and gas rise by 2050, but renewables will experience significant growth as well. There will also be sustainable growth in demand for natural gas and petroleum liquids over the next 30 years. Meeting that growing demand will require all the above and that we do it right. We must hold ourselves accountable for any impact on the environment. To address the energy transition, Gaspar said the industry must make substantial progress in reducing emissions because it's incumbent upon the industry to do so. It's the right thing to do, and it's what stockholders want. Devon, which derives 70% of its production from the Delaware Basin, noted the criticism of goals to be net zero by 2050 being too far off. People overestimate what they can do in a year and underestimate what they can do in a decade. Cutting emissions will require technology, innovation, and finding rich technology offers the best approach to cutting emissions. There are also opportunities for what Gaspar said are adjacent businesses to oil and gas, such as installing solar arrays to power oil and gas operations or expansion into low-carbon fuels. Murder trial gets final jury selection, by Caitlin Randall. Opening statements will be delivered Friday morning for the jury trial of David Charles Wilson, who was charged with murder of shooting a police officer in 2019, A jury was selected Thursday afternoon after 4 days of narrowing down the pool of potential jurors. There were more than 700 county residents summoned for jury duty, the most in the history of the county, according to officials, and about 420 residents who appeared for jury duty on Monday. The final jury, consisting of 12 jurors and two alternates, is made up of 9 women and 5 men. 13 members of the jury are white, and 1 is Hispanic. Presiding Judge Judge Jody Gillis asked the panel not to use social media, watch the news, or read news articles about the trial or discuss the trial with anyone. After the jury was sworn in, Wilson entered a not guilty plea for all allegations in his indictment. Earlier in the week, the potential jurors were asked whether they agreed with several statements about a person's right to protect their home, the role of police officers in the community, and use of deadly force if one believes their life is in danger. The prosecution and defense also explained some specifics of Texas law during jury selection. According to state prosecutors, a person can be convicted of murder regardless of whether the jury agrees on how the murder occurred. For example, Texas law allows murder convictions if the crime was intentional or unintentional, or if the murder happened while the defendant was committing another felony. Defense attorneys explained concepts like Castle Doctrine, which allows for the use of force to protect one's home. The defense stated that Castle Doctrine only required the fear of unlawful entry, rather than that one must be in fear for their life. The attorneys also said that in Texas, deadly force is presumed to be a reasonable response to protect one's home from a potential threat. Opening statements will begin at 9 a.m. today in the 10th floor auxiliary room of the Midland County Courthouse. An overflow room downstairs will stream the trial to members of the public who are not able to get a seat in the courtroom. Heidelberg was shot and killed by Wilson while responding to a burglar alarm call at Wilson's home on March 5, 2019. Wilson's attorney later said in a statement that he mistook Heidelberg for an intruder. Wilson is facing 5 to 99 years or life in prison if convicted of murder. Sheriff's Office seeking help with investigation. The Midland County Sheriff's Office and Midland Crime Stoppers are asking for the public's help to solve a homicide. Sheriff's deputies responded Tuesday at about 5:45 p.m. to the 5500 block of Farm to Market Road 1213 in reference to a fire. Upon arrival, deputies discovered a human body that was set on fire. Investigators have been unable to identify the body or the suspect or suspects at this time. MCSO investigators shared a photo of some distinctive clothing that was worn by the victim. Any information on this case that leads to the identity and the arrest of the suspects will be eligible for a cash reward up to $1,000. Call Midland Crime Stoppers at 694-TIPS or use P3 Tips mobile app. Partnership to host vaccine clinic for kids. Midland Health and Community Children's Clinic will be offering a COVID vaccine clinic to those between the ages of 5 to 11 at the clinic located at 1101 East Front Street. The clinic will be held on Monday afternoons and appointments are required. The recently approved pediatric dose of the Pfizer vaccine will be available only for those between the ages of 5 to 11. Appointments can be made on the Midland Health website or by calling 432-221-4VAX 4289. A parent guardian must accompany the child to the appointment. In addition, bring the completed registration and pre-screening forms to your appointment. These forms, along with the fact sheet, can be found at the MidlandHealth.org website. Weekly vaccination clinics will continue to be held at the F. Murray Hall Outpatient Center or individuals seeking a COVID vaccine that are 12 years of age and older. Go to MidlandHealth.org schedule for scheduling information. Midland Health now must require employee vaccines under the Fed order by Stuart Doreen. The guidance that Midland Health has been waiting for regarding unvaccinated employees is out. The Associated Press reported Thursday that people working in nursing homes, hospitals, and other facilities that receive money from Medicare or Medicaid will not have an option for testing. They will need to be vaccinated. Both CMS and OSHA released long-awaited emergency rules requiring COVID vaccinations. Midland Health will take those regulations very seriously and do our best to comply. Currently, we are reviewing the regs in detail and will develop and issue policies and procedures to govern the rollout. This will include a clear process for consideration of employees' requests for medical and/or religious exemptions. Earlier this week, Midland Health reported that the percentage of vaccinated staff is around 73%. We still do have people, we believe, who will have some legal level of objection as the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services mandate becomes real. We'll find out in the near future. We'll see where we go, but we are prepared for that, and it won't really impact a whole lot of our people. The new requirements from the Biden administration are expected to impact 10 million of Americans who work at companies with 100 or more employees. Most will need to be fully vaccinated against COVID by January 4th or have the opportunity to be tested for the virus weekly under government rules. The testing option, again, will not be available to those working in facilities that receive money from Medicare or Medicaid. Workers will be able to ask for exemptions on medical or religious grounds. Local Restaurants Handle Thanksgiving by J.C. Lewis. Rashland Hills Golf Club is offering Thanksgiving dinner to go. All orders must be placed by November 19th at noon. Pickup time is from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. on November 24th. The menu features a turkey feast for 10 people, $325, with a whole turkey choice of whole or sliced, Brussels sprouts, mashed potatoes, turkey gravy, glazed sweet potatoes, macaroni and cheese, green beans, casserole, traditional sage dressing, cranberry sauce, a dozen cheddar rolls, and choice of two pies. A la carte options include prime rib whole, $350, or half, $175. Turkey only, $85, and turkey breast lobe only, $65. A la carte sides feed 4 to 5 people for $15 each. That menu includes mashed potatoes, glazed sweet potatoes, green bean casserole, cranberry sauce, Brussels sprouts, mashed potatoes, traditional dressing, turkey gravy, macaroni and cheese, and 1 dozen cheddar rolls. Pies from Ranchland are also available. To reserve an order, call John Powell at 432-684-2041 or jpowell@ranchlandhills.com. La Fabella's Restaurant and Events is offering a Thanksgiving Day special catering package. The packages are $200 to feed 10 people, $265 to feed 15, and $400 to feed 25 people. The packages will include turkey, ham, dressing, mashed potatoes, giblet gravy, green bean casserole, dinner rolls, and a variety of desserts and tea. The last day to place orders will be November 20th. A deposit of half is required when placing the order. To place orders, call 432-563-3505 or 432-770-7686. Pickup time will be Thanksgiving Day between 10 and 1. Midland Meat Company will have smoked turkeys, raw organic turkeys, spiral-cut hams, and boneless hams available for pre-order. To order, call 432-262-4644. Tall City Meat Company will have pre-orders for fresh, all-natural, never-frozen turkey, or customers can pre-order smoked turkey or just the turkey breast. Fresh turkeys are $35 to $45 each for 12 to 14 pounds. Smoked turkeys and turkey breast will be $75 for 12 to 14 pounds. The meat market will also offer full Wagyu smoked briskets for $160 for 12 to 13 pounds. Call 432-218-7514 to order. The legendary Barn Door Steakhouse will offer a family pack that serves 6 to 8 people. The family pack will feature smoked ham or turkey, or half and half of each, homemade cornbread dressing, candied sweet potatoes, mashed potatoes, turkey gravy, and southern-style green beans for $119. Add-ons include a bag of homemade bread for $3, a block of famous cheese for $4, homemade pie for $12, and 1 pound of meat for $20. Call 432-337-4142 to order. Pickup November 23rd or 24th. Cracker Barrel will have pre-made Thanksgiving meals available for pre-order. The meals are chilled and ready to heat with 2 turkey breasts, dressing, gravy, cranberry relish, sweet potato casserole, 2 sides, rolls, and pumpkin or pecan pies for $139.99. Other add-ons are available on the website. To pre-order, visit crackerbarrel.com/catering. Desserts. Cora's Bistro will have pecan and pumpkin pies for $27. All pies are vegan-friendly. Orders must be placed before November 20th. Pickup is November 25th. For more information, visit www.facebook.com/Cora's Bistro. Buttermilk Sky Pie Shop is offering a limited spice pumpkin pie until November 27th. Other Thanksgiving flavors are I-40 pecan pie with coconut and chocolate chips, pecan pie, apple pie, and chocolate chess, which is a combination of a fudge pie and a southern custard pie. Orders can be placed online at buttermilkskypie.com or by calling 432-218-8782. Texas Fudge will be offering original strawberry, cherry, blueberry, turtle, coffee, and pumpkin cheesecakes for $38. Pecan pies are also available for $15. Baklava will be also available for $35 for 32 pieces. To order, visit the food truck or call 432-557-4138. Orders can be picked up on Friday from 5:30 to 9 p.m. at 3500 Golf Course Road at the Fork Food Truck. Ranchland Hills Golf Club is offering pumpkin pie, pecan pie, and apple pie for $12 each. A tacos and margaritas cook-off will be at 1 p.m. November 14th at Dos Amigos. Vinyl brunch will be from 10:30 to 1:30 p.m. November 14th at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. Brown's Barbecue will be closed from November 6th to December 1st for remodeling. Bud Light is releasing a new Texas can and offer. To showcase the wide range of Texas pride and extend an exclusive offer to Texans 21 years and older, Bud Light has tapped well-known local celebrities, including Dak Prescott, Brandon Cooks, and Mike Evans. The Bud Light Texas Pack pays tribute to the state, its people, and their larger-than-life Texas pride with custom cans that feature the state's signature Lone Star front and center, according to a press release. For the month of November, Texans can enjoy $5 off their Drizzly order when purchasing the Texas Pack for the first time. To redeem the offer, fans can enter the code BUDLIGHT before purchasing. Plan ahead with holiday gift cards that give back. From November 30th through December 20th, guests can buy $50 in walk-on gift cards. We'll get a free $10 bonus card. Dairy Queen announced a frozen hot chocolate of DQ vanilla soft serve ice cream mixed with a crunch of misty sludge, blended with cacao fudge, and topped off with whipped cream. Angelina Rose Montalvo Simmons passed away at home on October 31st. Memorial services will be Saturday, November 6th at 3 p.m. at Willowbrook Funeral Home Chapel in Midland. Ralph Dunson Sr. of Midland passed away on October 29th. Visitation was Friday, November 5th at Jackie Warren Funeral Home in Midland. Services will be Saturday, November 6th at 11 a.m. at Greater New Hope Baptist Church in Midland. Interment to follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Sharon Riney passed away on October 28th. A celebration of life will be on Monday, November 8th at 1 p.m. The service will be at Fannin Terrace Baptist Church in Midland, and a reception for friends and family to follow. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home. Vera Alexander Calley passed away on October 23rd. Funeral service will be at Porter Loring Mortuary in North in San Antonio on Saturday, November 6th at 11 a.m., with burial to follow at Mission Park South. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to Christmas in Action in Midland, American Heart Association, or the St. Jude Children's Hospital.
This is Reed, and this is the Odessa American for Friday, November 5th, 2021. Abbott in the Basin. Governor Law Enforcement meet in Midland. Texas Governor will flip the coin at Permian game tonight. Texas Governor Greg Abbott made the first of several stops in the Permian Basin this week as he hosted a border roundtable discussion with local law enforcement at the Midland County Horseshoe Arena Thursday. During the discussion, Abbott talked with law enforcement officers from around the area about the ongoing crisis at the southern border and its reverberating impact in local communities throughout Texas. Joining the governor was Texas Department of Safety Director Stephen McGraw, Midland County Judge Terry Johnson, as well as law enforcement representatives from Upton, Midland, Ector, Tom Green, Dawson, Martin, Howard, and Andrews counties. Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths was also present at the roundtable discussion. After the roundtable discussion, the Texas governor answered a few questions from the media. Abbott talked about the vital role that local law enforcement plays in dealing with any border crisis. Quote, the local law enforcement in counties, including the border counties themselves, they're on the front lines of having to deal with waves of people coming into the country and the state of Texas, end quote, Abbott said. Quote, Texas partners with local law enforcers and officials in those counties. We wanted to meet here in Midland to understand the challenges and to make sure that they know that they're using the same strategies that are being used on the border in order to keep their community safe, end quote. Griffiths shared his thoughts on the roundtable discussion afterwards. The sheriff mentioned that he asked the governor about putting more funding in the prison system. Quote, the governor says there is plans to put more money in the prison system because it's an unfunded mandate, end quote, Griffiths said. Quote, we arrest these people, they get prosecuted, which incidentally, I think there needs to be a new overhaul, a new minimum on sentences. Just imagine if we put these people in prison and we kept them there. Just think of your homeowner's insurance going down because there's less crime. It just makes so much sense. It just drives me crazy, end quote. Griffiths talked about his thoughts on the overhaul on minimum sentences. Quote, just here in Ector County, there are so many people that need to be in jail or prison, end quote, Griffiths said. Quote, we send them to prison, but they're back in their communities committing crimes again. It's an unfunded mandate because they should be in prison, end quote. Abbott also has been in the Permian Basin fundraising and meeting with various groups. A dinner was held for Abbott Thursday night in Midland. He is on the campaign trail raising funds with the GOP primary just months away in March. Abbott will deliver remarks at the Midland chapter of the Republican National Hispanic Assembly's Reagan Lunch at noon today at the Bush Convention Center Ballroom. The governor will also be in attendance at the tailgate and flip the coin before the Permian Midland Legacy football game later tonight at Grande Communications Stadium. Pandemic prompts ECISD enrollment loss. District will partner with health officials to offer COVID vaccines. Ector County ISD has lost more than 2,000 students in terms of enrollment during the pandemic. There was some speculation that Bonham Middle School, for example, had fewer students due to regular immunization requirements. Quote, we know early on that we had some families that moved away from our area. The economy changed and some of our families left. But many of those families simply pulled their children out of school and are homeschooling because of the pandemic, end quote. Superintendent Scott Murray said during his media call Wednesday. Quote, we have not noticed that one school is more affected than another. So Bonham Middle School has not been more or less affected by the pandemic than any of the other schools in ECISD. It's really all of our kids, north, south, east, and west. We've seen an effect of a fewer number of students this year because of the pandemic. But again, this is not isolated to a singular area, end quote, Murray added. There are vaccines the state requires. Quote, those immunizations occur every year of our students. Typically, those are in the elementary grades, and in order for a child to enter school at the age of 4 or 5, certain immunizations must be in place, end quote. Quote, but I'm not aware of any immunization requirements causing families to not have their children attend school, end quote, Murray said. Murray also was asked about Ector College Prep Middle School. Asked if the district monitors the campus, he said Third Future is the organization that runs it. Quote, we partner with them, we do monitor them, but Third Future is the company that really runs the school, end quote, Murray said. Murray said part of the contract between ECISD and Third Future is an evaluation piece. Quote, so every year we conduct an evaluation on their progress, and then we share that information with the board. They aren't required to present to the board. What's required is that we evaluate their academic performance every year, end quote, he said. Thursday night, there was a virtual family picnic where people could log on to the ECISD website under Empower and find activities to do as a family. Murray reminded parents that there is an early release day, November 11th. He noted that four ECISD nurses were identified in the top 25 in the Permian Basin. Quote, our nurses have been incredibly busy for the last year and a half, really in response to COVID-19. Just the volume of visits to our clinics, the volume of visits due to kids and adults, and COVID-19 has been overwhelming. The Permian Basin each year recognizes 25 outstanding nurses. This year, four of our nurses are among the 25 that are being recognized. So we'd like to congratulate four of the many ECISD nurses that have lifted up this year and being recognized for their incredible work supporting students, end quote, Murray said. He added that nursing always has been a very busy and time-consuming job. Quote, but on top of their regular duties, they've had to add all the responsibilities that come along with dealing with a worldwide pandemic. So we lift up all our nurses for going well above and beyond the call of duty in the last couple of years, end quote, Murray said. Asked about COVID shots being available for 5 to 11-year-olds, Murray said they have already had conversations with local hospitals to figure out, quote, how we can make it as easy as possible for our families. Some families will want to go to their family doctor. Certainly our pharmacies will be available. Hospitals will certainly have opportunities. But if we can make it easy for our families by providing it at school, then we certainly want to partner with our medical community and make that opportunity available for our families, end quote, Murray said. Quick hits. Mary Marketplace. The Junior League of Odessa will present Mary and Bright, 38th Annual Mary Marketplace, through Sunday at the Ector County Coliseum, 4201 Andrews Highway. Ladies Luncheon and Fashion Show will start at 9 a.m. today. Luncheon and Fashion Show individual ticket is $75. Marketplace hours are from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. through Sunday. General admission is $10 and stroller is $10. For sponsor table to the Ladies Luncheon and Fashion Show, email tickets at jlodessa.org. For tickets or information, visit tinyurl.com/4z3fcctk. Pack 58 Carnival. Cub Scout Pack 58 has scheduled a carnival fundraiser from noon to 6 p.m. Saturday at Redeemer Lutheran Church, 824 East 18th Street. Brisket plates will be available for purchase from noon till sold out. There will be games, gift cards, silent auction, cupcake walk, and a variety of vendors. Pricing is $20, includes brisket plate, water/tea, dessert plus 10 tickets for the games. Each extra ticket is $1. Each game booth and the cakewalk will be one ticket. Vendors and donates are welcome. Vendors must register in advance. For more information, call Evelyn Kuiper at 432-934-2724 or evelyne.kuiper@gmail.com. HEB Feast of Sharing. HEB will celebrate the holiday season in Midland by distributing more than 9,000 holiday meals as part of its annual HEB Feast of Sharing celebration. In partnership with West Texas Food Bank, HEB partners, employees, along with community volunteers, will pass out holiday meals, bags of fruits, vegetables, and other food items, and toys and other festive goodies to fellow Texans in Midland. The meal distribution will take place from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. today at the Midland County Horseshoe Pavilion, 2514 Arena Trail, Midland. An annual tradition, this year's HEB Feast of Sharing will not include the traditional in-person dinner events and volunteer opportunities. Instead, HEB will donate more than 340,000 meals to support hunger relief efforts in Texas and Mexico this holiday season. In Texas, HEB will make monetary and food donations to 18 Texas food banks and more than 45 hunger relief agencies. Bingo Night Fundraiser. The Adin Vita Private School has scheduled a Bingo Night Fundraiser from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. today at the Premier Ballroom, 6482 West University Boulevard. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. There will be food, live music, drinks, and prizes. Sponsorship packages available for businesses and large parties. Pre-sale bingo books may be purchased from an Adin Vita student or call 432-305-9566. Tickets, books will also be available at the door. Visit tinyurl.com/KBC469SP. Fall Revival. Inner City Tabernacle of Life Ministries, 3607 North Dixie Boulevard, has scheduled a fall revival with guest revivalist Apostle David Love of Kansas City, Missouri, at 7:30 p.m. today, at 12:30 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. Saturday, and at noon Sunday. Visit tinyurl.com/55z484mh. Concerts. The Hacienda Event Center, 12610 Texas 191 Frontage Road, Midland, has scheduled the following events. Today, Christian Castro Hits Tour. November 12th, Signo, Joe Lopez, y Grupo Maz. November 25th, Farruko. January 14th, 2022, Camila, Carla Bro, and special guest El Chaparro Chichenogro. January 21st, Gerardo Ortiz, La Edictiva, La Fiera de Ojinaga Impacto Sinaloinis. For event times and tickets, visit HaciendaMidland.com. Plant a Tree for Hope. Keep Odessa Beautiful has scheduled Plant a Tree for Hope Saturday. Attend the KOB Educational Fair and receive one free tree. The fair will take place from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday at the Household Hazardous Waste Recycle Center, 814 West 42nd Street. Trees vary from rough-leaf dogwood, Mexican buckeye, yopan, Chinese pistache, wax myrtle, flowering dogwood, and American elm. Pre-registration is required at tinyurl.com/4PNNSTVW. For more information, call 432-335-4686 or visit keepodessabeautiful.org. Single Moms Conference. Stonegate Fellowship Church, 4240 Preston Smith Road, has scheduled a Single Moms Conference from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday. This is a one-day event of fun and encouragement, designed specifically for women raising children alone. Childcare is available for children ages 6 weeks to 12 years old. Pre-registration is required. Lunch will be provided for attending mothers and children. To pre-register or for more information, call 432-694-5100 or visit tinyurl.com/4s5hhzte. Christmas Village Market. A Christmas Village Market has been scheduled from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday at the Midland County Horseshoe Arena, 2514 Arena Trail, Midland. Visit tinyurl.com/5upxf474. Thank a Hero event. Thank a Hero event will take place from noon to 4 p.m. Saturday at Music City Mall, Dillard's Courtyard, 4101 East 42nd Street. Sign a thank you card, donate comfort items, t-shirts, underwear, socks, to a veteran in the Big Spring VA Hospital. Items will be delivered before veterans visit. tinyurl.com/9cubc236. Concert. The Ector Theater, 500 North Texas Avenue, will present Cory Morrow live Saturday. Doors open at 6 p.m. Opener starts at 7 p.m. For tickets or more information, visit theector.com. Concierto de Amor. The Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale has scheduled Concierto de Amor at 7:30 p.m. Saturday at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788, Midland. The evening will feature Barbara Padilla from America's Got Talent. Tickets start at $11 and students $8. Call 800-514-3849 or visit tinyurl.com slash V8 N4WPVN. Adventures in Art. The Ellen Knoll Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard, has scheduled Adventures in Art, painting for ages 6 through 12 from 2:30 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Sunday. Students will tour current exhibitions and do a related studio art project. Cost is $20 per class. Advanced registration is required. To register or for more information, visit knollartmuseum.org. Family Fall Festival. Third annual Family Fall Festival has been scheduled for foster, adoptive, or interested families from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Sunday at 7401 Briarwood Avenue, Midland. There will be pony rides, face painting, petting zoo, pie walk, food trucks, and more. The event is free. Visit tinyurl.com/27ZHMVKK. Veterans Day Band Concert. Odessa College will be inviting the public to attend its annual Veterans Day Band Concert at 7 p.m. Sunday in Dederich Auditorium on the main campus of Odessa College. The concert is free and family-friendly. The annual event honors military veterans, emergency personnel, and first responders through music. The Odessa College Concert Band will perform music by Aaron Copland, Johannes Brahms, and numerous American favorites. The concert will also feature the service songs of all the U.S. Armed Forces. Veterans Week of Events. The University of Texas Permian Basin, 4901 East University Boulevard, will celebrate and honor veterans November 8th through 11th. Monday, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., Veterans Healthcare at D. Kirk Edwards Family Human Performance Building. Tuesday, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m., War Authors, Short Readings and Discussion at the Student Activity Center, upstairs in the Fishbowl. Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., Pro Bono Legal Clinic for Military-Affiliated Students at the Mesa Building, Room 1150C. Thursday, 9:30 a.m., Veterans Day Ceremony at the UTPB Gym, followed by free lunch for veterans at the dining hall. Visit utpb.edu. OC Honors Luncheon. Odessa College will present the 14th OC Honors Luncheon on Tuesday at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, 305 East 5th Street. Keynote speaker will be Jeffrey Canada. This year's honorees will be Lisa Wyman, Outstanding Individual, Julie Marshall, Outstanding Educator, La Margarita, Outstanding Business, Medical Center Health System, Outstanding Nonprofit, Rohith Saravanan, MD, Community Impact, and Wood Family / Virginia Chisholm Hall of Fame inductees. Sponsorship and tables are available. Online donations are also welcomed. Sponsorships from the luncheon will directly impact OC students through scholarships. These scholarships include the Student Success Scholarship, as well as scholarships for more specialized areas, such as education, nursing, engineering, music, and more. To sponsor, purchase a table, to donate, or for more information, call 432-335-6648, email foundation@odessa.edu, or visit www.odessa.edu/OC Honors. Community shows support for MCH staff. In the midst of all the ebbs and flows of COVID-19, Medical Center Hospital employees have received support from a variety of sectors of the community. MCH Associate Chief Experience Officer Courtney Look said it has been overwhelming. Quote, I think it's been a really important message for all of our healthcare team members to know that the community is behind them. They support them. They're thinking about them. End quote, Look said. One of the more unique gifts came from the MCH Auxiliary, which donated what they call a Zen Room, which used to be a conference room. Quote, it's a room with massage chairs and devotional books and adult coloring books. It has oil diffusers and a Keurig coffee maker. We keep it stocked with snacks and some really calming decorations, end quote, Look said. When times are stressful or a team member just needs to step away for a second, they use the room, she said. People usually take about 15 minutes out to refocus, regroup, and then get back to their areas or units, Look added. Quote, we've seen a huge response. When we first started, people were going in slowly and curiously. But I think as the word has spread, end quote, more people started to take advantage, Look said. She added that her patient experience team restocks drinks and snacks pretty regularly throughout the week. Quote, we're seeing a lot of traffic through there, end quote, Look said. She noted that they have also received a lot of handwritten cards from the community. Quote, those are so impactful, end quote, Look said. Quote, we love leaving them in our physician lounge. Our nurses on the unit love to read them, end quote. Retired nurses have also decorated keychains, and people have contributed a huge amount of snacks, sodas, water, hand sanitizer, lotions, and chapsticks. Quote, we even have had some individuals from the Midland Odessa Symphony that will come in at shift change, and they will play some music. Whether it's by viola or violin or cello, they'll play at shift change as the team is coming in, end quote, Look said. Quote, we've had many church groups that have donated snacks, or they'll cheer in our team at shift change, end quote, Look said. Ethan Wills, executive director of the Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale, said musicians, individually and in groups, were inspired to say thank you through their music by an article in the Odessa American saying how difficult it was to stay positive. When COVID numbers were high, Wills said musicians would play on Fridays for morning and evening shift changes, and they would travel between Odessa and Midland. It was their way of saying thank you, quickly, Wills said. Quote, it was cool. I played myself. I play trombone. Normally, that's not something the amateur listener is used to hearing, end quote, Will said. At the time, windows were open in the rooms of COVID patients, but Will said you could see other windows on other floors opening to hear the music. Quote, it was a really fulfilling moment, end quote, Will said. He added that it also was gratifying to see employees taking a longer route coming to or leaving work. Along with the music, many people want to chalk the sidewalks just to say they are thinking about MCH employees and expressing well wishes, Look said. Mission Fitness also has partnered with the hospital to offer gym passes. Quote, we've seen a really wide range of support that has just been so meaningful. There's so much going on in the media. There's so much going on about COVID. And to know that you have the West Texas community behind you has been really uplifting for the spirits of our team, end quote, Look said. OC offering variety of classes. From cooking to sewing and voice acting, the Odessa College Continuing Education Department is all about offering the community courses it wants. Quote, we're really, really pushing our community classes right now. We have some cooking classes that include Instant Pot, make-ahead meals for when you're on the go. We also are going to start offering the Serve Safe because the laws in the food industry have changed, so more people will need the training to be able to be a manager in the business. We also have sewing, voice acting, and that's a really cool one. It's virtual. One of our new ones that we're really excited about is our ASL, American Sign Language. It's also going to be for beginners, but also some mommy and me's. If you have kids, you can participate in that one. We have Dutch oven cooking, virtual piano, virtual guitar, end quote, said Reagan Paquette, head of instructional operations in the Continuing Education Department at OC. Quote, we're also starting our court reporting info sessions for the next class that's going to start in March, end quote. Paquette said the information sessions are a chance to come in and gain more knowledge on court reporting. Quote, we're also offering a lot more CPR. We have really cool deals that we can offer because of grants that we have, end quote, Paquette said. Quote, we're really encouraging everybody that can get to CPR, end quote, she added. Continuing education determines what courses to offer by listening to the community. Quote, we really do try to figure out what the needs of the community are and offer the classes that we be able to help them ultimately, end quote, Paquette said. She added that they are also moving to expand into the region like Pecos and Monahans. They have a class in Rankin right now and Andrews and Crane. Former Ector County ISD Deputy Superintendent Stephanie Howard is now superintendent in Crane. Quote, we're really trying to work with her to create some more classes for that area, end quote, Paquette said. The start times for classes vary, and there are a lot of on-demand courses for businesses, for example. They can base the training off the needs of the businesses, and sometimes they go to the businesses. Quote, we work with Southwest Bank some, and we actually did trainings at their facility, end quote, Paquette said. Quote, the last one we did was email etiquette for their employees, and they were willing to do CPR for all of Southwest Bank, but then COVID hit, so we've postponed it until the spring, end quote, she added. For more information, call the Continuing Education Department at OC at 432-335-6580. Local law firm announces retirements. Kelly, Morgan, Dennis, Corzine, and Hansen, PC, have announced the retirement of John Blake Hansen and J.T. Morgan. Hansen has been a member and shareholder of the Kelly, Morgan, Dennis, Corzine, and Hansen law firm since 1979. Hansen was born in Stamford, Texas, in 1949, and received his undergraduate BBA degree from Texas Tech University in 1972. He received his Doctor of Jurisprudence Law degree from Texas Tech University School of Law in 1975. Hansen was an assistant district attorney in Midland County, Texas, and was county judge of Midland County, Texas in 1978. Civically, Hansen has been active in the Odessa community by serving as a board member and past president of the Ellen Knoll Art Museum, as board member and past president of United Way of Odessa, as board member and past president of Samaritan Counseling Center of West Texas, Inc., a board member of Securing Samaritan's Vision, Inc., and as board member and chairman of the board of directors of Odessa Regional Medical Center. Hansen and his wife, Fanny, have 4 adult children and 8 grandchildren. J.T. Morgan has been a member of the shareholder of the Kelly Morgan, Dennis Corzine, and Hansen Law Firm since the late 80s. Morgan was born in the Lower Valley of El Paso in 1955. Morgan is married to Debbie and has been married since 1981. They are the proud parents of 5 children and grandparents to 5 grandchildren. Morgan received his law degree from Texas Tech University School of Law in 1981. He was an active community member of Odessa prior to moving to Blanco, Texas. Morgan was a long-time member of the Greater Odessa Rotary. He was active in his church, First United Methodist Church, since 1981. He was the chair of the Odessa Day Nursery, a nonprofit which provides discounted child care to over 110 children, and proudly served on that board for approximately 20 years. He was a member of the board of directors of Christmas in Action. Morgan now is an active member of his Blanco community. He is an avid road cyclist and is a runner, both of which are done slowly. Obituaries. Perry P.H. Mitchell Hanchy. Mountain Grove. Perry P.H. Mitchell Hanchy, 68, of Mountain Grove, Missouri, passed away October 29, 2021. He was born to Charles Hanchy and Fern Goforth Hunt on January 17, 1953, in Palo Alto, California. Perry was preceded in death by both his parents, Charles Hanchy and Fern Hunt. Perry is survived by his daughter, Shannon Julian Adam, son Chad Hanchy, Alika, and daughter Allison Tarbox, Jared, as well as 7 grandchildren, Aubrey Julian, Addison Julian, Caden Tarbox, Ava Julian, Kinsey Tarbox, Hadley Hanchy, and Halen Hanchy. His brothers, Charles Michael Hanchy and Mark Hanchy, and sister, Kathleen Amonte. A private service for immediate family will take place in the coming days. The family is asking that in lieu of flowers, donations be made in his name to one of Perry's favorite ministries, Jimmy Swaggart Ministries, P.O. Box 262550, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70826. Fern Louise Hoying Ham, Allen. Fern Louise Hoying Ham, age 91, passed away on October 30th and is now in the light of his glory and grace. Graveside services will be held at 2 o'clock p.m. Friday, November 5th, 2021, in the Archer City Cemetery at 10 West Evergreen, Archer City, Texas, with Sylvia Wang, pastor of the First United Methodist Church of Archer City, officiating. Arrangements are under the direction of Ald's Funeral Home of Archer City. The family will receive friends from 1 o'clock p.m. until 2 o'clock p.m. at Ald's Funeral Home of Archer City. Born in Walters, Oklahoma, to Andrew Herman Hoying and Hattie Lorraine Robison Hoying, Fern lived in Texas most of her life. She was the widow of Marvin M.L. Ham, Jr., to whom she was married for 63 years. Fern is survived by her children, Janice Jan and her husband David Hyatt, Wade Ham, Vicky and her husband Michael Eaton, and Lisa and her husband Gerald Ty Westfall. Other survivors include her grandchildren, Michael Hyatt, Jennifer Hyatt Knoll, and husband Francis, Dana Hyatt Davis, Cameron Eaton and wife Cynthia, Scott Westfall and wife Lily, and L.T. Andrew Drew Westfall, Texas Army National Guard, and great-grandchildren Corporal Andrew Hyatt, USMC, Caden Hyatt, Gray Davis, and Finley Westfall. Fern was preceded in death by her husband, Marvin, her parents, her sister Joe Carol Hoying Carver, her brother Roy Don Hoying, and a niece and nephew. Death Notices. Ernest Dwayne Lee, Gardendale. Ernest Dwayne Lee, 56, died Tuesday, November 2, 2021, in Gardendale. Services are pending with American Heritage, Obits of Midland. Leslie C. Blaylock, Odessa. Leslie C. Blaylock, 68, of Odessa, died Wednesday, November 3, 2021, in Odessa. no services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Diana Lemus, Midland. Diana Lemus, 48, died Thursday, October 28, 2021, in Midland. Services are pending with American Heritage, Obits of Midland.
Opinion from the Odessa American for Sunday. Letters to the Editor. Congratulations on award. C.S. Mitchell of Odessa writes, kudos to the OA for the Spirit of FOI Award. I'm proud of you. As a regular reader, I enjoy your timely and informative news stories, as well as editorials and columns. The photography and captions are first rate, both artistic and relevant. The sports section is amazing with such a wide variety of local, state, national, and world events that I rarely have to look elsewhere. I really like the Sunday Opinion and Other Voices pages. I read them all. Life and Times is interesting. I would probably gather all the gardening, pets, recipes, nutrition, and medical articles into a bigger and better lifestyle section. I love the verse of the day and this day in history. I like to scan the weather and the lake levels. Saturday's religion section offers a variety of viewpoints, just what I like. I follow Money and Markets and PB Stock Portfolio. For the daily comics and TV guide and too many other sections to list, thank you and congratulations. Thanks to all veterans. Laura Corner, Texas Veterans Commission, Chairwoman and U.S. Navy veteran, writes, veterans are an important part of all our lives because they protected the freedoms we enjoy. After their service in the U.S. military, veterans go on to be valuable members of our communities. With that in mind, let us honor them this Veterans Day, Thursday, November 11th. Thank them for their service and celebrate them. Veterans inspire us with their commitment, sacrifice, and contributions. Just like anyone else, veterans can at times use some assistance. Help with VA processes, education benefits, employment, and veteran-owned businesses is available from the Texas Veterans Commission. Additionally, we provide grants to local veteran service organizations and mental health support to providers. On November 11th of each year, Americans have honored the men and women who have served in the U.S. Armed Services since the armistice, which ended World War I, was declared on November 11th, 1918, and that tradition continues to this day. To all our Texas veterans, please know that you have our gratitude and our unwavering support on Veterans Day and every day of the year.
COVID-19 deaths and obesity. Dear Dr. Roach, I recently read that 80% of people who died from COVID-19 were obese. Is this true? Answer: no, that number is not correct. In the general population, about 43% are obese and another 29% are overweight. Among people who died from COVID-19, 46% were obese and 27% were overweight. It is true that being obese is a risk factor for severe COVID-19. But it is a modest risk factor at best for people who are overweight. Having complicated high blood pressure, diabetes, and just being male are additional risk factors. In people who are very obese, defined as a BMI over 45, that's a 6 feet tall man weighing over 330 pounds, the risk of dying from COVID is double compared with a person of normal weight. I would also say that the original statement seems to blame the victims of this terrible pandemic, and possibly to falsely reassure people of normal weight that they have little to fear from COVID-19. People of every age and body weight are at risk from COVID-19 and its complications, including death and long-term disability. All would benefit from the vaccine. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach.
Woman takes advantage of neighbor's assistance. Dear Abby, my husband is close to retirement age and has his hands full with work and yard work all year long. We have a lot of property to take care of. 2 years ago, a retired neighbor asked him to clear the snow from her double driveway during the winter storms. We don't own a plow. She started giving him $20 for his hard work. This year, she decided to give him $10 when she felt like it. This woman is well off financially. She has two housekeepers, goes out to eat, and vacations on a regular basis. When the snow falls, she calls our home constantly to have her driveways cleared, even though my husband is at work. How do we put a stop to this when the snow starts falling this winter? Signed, Fed Up in Pennsylvania. Dear Fed Up, your husband has been a good neighbor. This woman hasn't acted like one. The next time you get a call like that when your husband is at work, tell her your husband is too busy to help her out. Then suggest she hire a person or snow removal service that does it professionally. She can certainly afford it. Dear Abby, I'm at a crossroads. My wife and I have grown apart. I thought we could go to counseling to resolve it, but she wants no part of it. My issue is this. My daughter came to me asking why Mommy is kissing Mr. Jones and telling him she loves him. I can handle the heartbreak, but for my daughter to see this kills me inside. How do I confront this? Signed, Heartbroken for my child. Dear Heartbroken, talk to your wife about what your daughter told you. When couples separate, they usually try to spare their young children the details of their romantic lives until enough time has passed for the kids to adjust to the breakup. That your wife couldn't wait to do this is regrettable. Because she refuses counseling, if you haven't talked to an attorney, the time to do it is now. Dear Abby, my daughter-in-law's mother has a brother who is a pastor. Recently, they had a small Sunday morning service at my daughter-in-law's house. The brother wanted to do a laying on of hands, where he would say a short prayer about each person. When it was my turn, he put his hand on my head and prayed for all my bad habits to be healed. I was mortified. This was in front of my grown sons and other people I know. Everyone has some bad habits, but why would he single me out to shame and embarrassment like that? I don't think his intentions were holy. Any advice? Signed, Feeling Abused in Florida. Dear Feeling Abused, you would feel less abused had you told that tasteless individual how his blessing made you feel when it happened. However, if you have his phone number, it's still not too late. You deserve an apology, and if you're invited to any more of those small religious services, I suggest you politely decline.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.